Hello, it's the March DCM podcast. This month we're trying something new. The Oscars took place last week, which I'm sure you're aware, at the time of recording, with Oppenheimer emerging as the big winner with 7 Oscars, including Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor for Cillian Murphy. Poor Things received 4 Oscars, including Best Actress for Emma Stone. It was a great night for cinema, with all the major winners premiering on the big screen. So whilst it's only 9 or so days after the ceremony, this month we're going to try and predict what films might be up for Oscars this time next year. Joining me to do that is DCM's Head of Research and Insight, Michael Tull, who usually wins or comes second in DCM's annual Oscars prediction competition. So he's as good a person as any at DCM to give us tips on what could be picking up the little gold men this time next year. Hi, Mike, how are you?
Hi, Tom. Good, thank you. Ready to look like an idiot with you about our predictions.
Oh, gosh, don't worry about that. That is what I do every month. But before we get into that, let's chat about what's been happening on the big screen in the last couple of months. February industry admissions are in, and they totaled just over 10 million, which is up 9% from February 2023. So after 2 months of 2024, admissions are up 10% from the same period of 2023, which I think is a great result, isn't it, Mike?
Yeah, I think it's excellent. I think we probably were a little bit nervous about the start of the year, probably, I think, given that you look back at last year this time and there was also no sort of major blockbuster for the first 6 weeks of the year, and we were maybe a little bit burnt by typical award season last year. So actually to have such a strong start to the year, I think it's been really pleasing for us.
Yeah, this increase in admissions is down to the success of a range of films, and I think cinema always benefits from having a range of films for a range of audiences. And we've had Migration, we've had Bob Marley, One Love, Wicked Little Letters, and the awards titles such as Poor Things and All of Us Strangers, and we have had an award season this year.
Yeah, definitely. I think just hearing from friends and stuff, like people saying that, I'm going to the cinema a lot at the start of the year, people saying there's a lot of great films out and people checking them out, so it all seems very positive.
Yeah, and since February, Dune Part 2 has been in cinemas for 3 weekends at the time of recording and has been performing terrifically. It's delivered over 2 million industry admissions. An early film monitor data suggests that that's over 9 16 34 adult TVRs. You've seen it. What did you think, Mike?
Yeah, I really liked it. I'd say it's probably, for me, a nudge better than the first one, I think. Yeah, still visually spectacular. This one's just a bit more action-packed and more going on, and the cast are great as well.
Yeah, I think that seems to be the consensus, doesn't it? Across April, we have Dev Patel's directorial debut, Monkey Man, which I'm very excited about.
Me too.
The Amy Winehouse biopic, Back to Black. Alex Garland's Civil War, Zendaya in Challengers, which is set around the world of competitive tennis, which you're a big fan of, aren't you?
Fully into, yeah.
Yeah, Mike is the big tennis fan. Aside from this, he'll be predicting the Grand Slam winners this year. And April has so many films that I want to see. What are you most looking forward to, Mike? Is it Challengers?
Yeah, it probably is Challengers, but also very intrigued by Civil War. I know you've heard that there's lots of positive murmurings about it, and an interesting reception out of South by Southwest as well, which makes me intrigued because it clearly seems a little divisive, but in a good way, I think.
Yeah, I think that's correct. Another thing that's been happening is I've been pretty active on LinkedIn. I know you're not aware of this, Mike, because you're not on LinkedIn.
So if
you're listening to this podcast and want some of the things that we're talking about today in text on your laptop or smartphone, come find me on LinkedIn. So
good you got hacked, Tom. That's how good your LinkedIn content is.
I did get hacked. I don't know what that person was thinking, but they did it. Anyway, so let's chat about the 2025 Oscars. Myself and Mike are going to pick 5 films each that we think have a shot at a Best Picture nomination in 2025. We've tried to focus on films that are currently on the schedule, but there's a couple which don't currently have release dates. And obviously, a number of films are going to come out, particularly across festival season at Venice and Toronto in sort of September, that we probably aren't even aware of yet. Yeah. But let's start. Mike, it's pretty clear that Dune Part 2 is going to be a major contender at next year's Oscars and BAFTAs. The first one was nominated for 10 Oscars, winning 6, and I would expect a similar performance from that next year, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I expect it's going to be showing up massively across all the categories, especially Craft and Best Picture, again, this time around. So yeah, I think it will definitely be on the list.
So let's ignore Dune Part 2 for the purposes of this.
Yeah.
Mike, you go with your 5.
Okay, so first I'm going to go for one that doesn't have a UK release date currently, but it does have a US release date for July, so I expect we'll end up having it around late summer or autumn at the very latest. This is a film that premiered at TIFF last autumn and has just played South by Southwest. It's called Sing Sing. It's based on a true story about a man who's played by recent Best Actor nominee Colman Domingo, who is imprisoned at Sing Sing, a max security prison, for a crime he didn't commit. And whilst he was incarcerated, he finds his purpose by acting in a theatre group alongside fellow prisoners. The reviews have been incredibly glowing, not just for Colman Domingo's performance, but also for the film generally. People are saying that it's that kind of the great mix of being a tearjerker, but also incredibly joyous and uplifting. And the sort of core theme of it is about the transformative power of art, which feels like a sort of theme that will play very well with the Academy. The cast is predominantly made up of people who were previously incarcerated and part of this theatre troupe in real life. But there is also another actor, Paul Racy, who's supporting in the cast. He was nominated for Sound of Metal a couple of years back as well. So it's kind of underpinned by two incredible actors. And I think it's a good sign that A24 have picked this up for American distribution. They've got into a habit of getting Best Picture nominations for their titles at the very least. You know, films including Minari, Lady Bird, Room, most recently Zone of Interest and Past Lives.
And Everything Everywhere All at Once.
And I was going to say the big wins for Everywhere All at Once most recently as well, and Moonlight in the Past as well. So yeah, really strong kind of pedigree from A24. And this feels like, looking at their slate, the one that I think they'll push the hardest for award season, especially with Colman Domingo having picked up quite a bit of momentum off the back of his nomination for Rustin this year. And it feels like this film is going to be better received than that, to sort of ride the coattails to be part of the Best Picture 10, I think.
That is a good shout. And so,
have you seen the trailer?
Yes, I have. It looks moving, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I do. It hasn't got a UK release date yet, but we expect it around summertime, don't we?
Yeah.
And it has shown that the last few years that release date is no impediment to winning an Oscar now. It used to be if you wanted to win an Oscar, you had to be released around winter time, particularly sort of January, February in the UK. But now, with Oppenheimer being released in July, Everything Ever All at Once being released in April or May, there's absolutely no reason why a film released this summer can't be a big contender at the awards next year. What's your second choice?
So next up, I'm going to the autumn, and with a UK release date of the 4th of October, it's Joker Folie à Deux. The last film was a big sensation commercially, critically acclaimed, and went on to be nominated in 11 categories.
11
at the
bonkers,
Oscars
isn't
world,
yeah.
Including Best Picture. Last time, Joaquin Phoenix obviously won the Oscar for his role in it as well. So this time around, it feels like you can't not predict the second film to be part of the Best Picture 10. Obviously, Lady Gaga is added into the cast this time around. The Academy clearly love her as well. She's won for song before. She's been nominated for her acting before. So it feels like it's got all the right ingredients to be nominated. It's going to be part of a pretty packed Warner's slate that they've got coming up. I know you're going to touch on a couple of other Warner's titles later on. This is a lot of films vying for attention on the Warner's slate, but I think this has a really strong shot at cutting through. We obviously haven't seen really anything from it apart from a couple of stills, so very intrigued to see the first trailer and see what the tone is. But I think it's got a really good shot at the Best Picture 10. Although there is a slight hurdle to get past when it, because it is a sequel. I looked back at, in the Best Picture race, how many sequels have been nominated in the past, and actually it's a pretty high bar, because you're talking about only really the likes of The Godfather, Lord of the Rings, Toy Story 3, Mad Max Fury Road, Avatar Way of Water and Top Gun Maverick have been nominated in sort of most recent years. So you have to have a level of quality or theatrical sort of achievement to kind of pass that bar. But I think Joker Folie à Deux is going to be a big hit. So I can see it having the momentum to get a Best Picture nomination.
It seems like they're going to follow the same strategy as the first one as well. Premiere at Venice in late August, early September, and then release 4th of October here. If I was a betting person, I think I would put money on Lady Gaga for Best Actress next year.
Yeah, I think she'll definitely be in the conversation, because they clearly like her, and it feels like a pretty chunky role, I think, in terms of what it's going to be able to give her to do. And I assume she's also going to be singing it and probably have an original song,
yes.
I would have thought as well. So I feel like, again, another film where there's real scope for probably not getting far off 11 nominations again across the categories as well.
Yeah, and I can't think of two more electric lead pairings this year. Obviously, we've got Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling in The Fall Guy, but I think Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga and Joker.
Yeah, electric slash unhinged.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, all of those things. What's your third choice?
So my third choice is a film that's actually just come on the schedule in the UK with a 15th of November release date. So prime for that kind of Oscar, kind of pre-Christmas.
That's the same
season.
Weekend Saltburn came out
year. There you go. Yeah. I think this is probably, it's a very different movie to Saltburn. But yes, I think it's definitely a prime spot. This is a film called Conclave. This is about a cardinal played by Ralph Fiennes, who is tasked with the selection of a new pope. But during this process, he finds himself himself at the centre of a conspiracy that could shake the very foundation of the church. At least that's how the official synopsis goes. So very intriguing plotline by the sounds of it. This is directed by Edward Berger. His last film was All Quiet on the Western Front, which became a big hit during awards season, picked up multiple Academy Award nominations and wins along the way, including Best Director at the BAFTAs. As well as Ralph Fiennes, the cast also includes Stanley Tucci, Isabella Rossellini, John Lithgow. So a really kind of classy cast. And it's got that plum release date, so it feels very much in the Academy's wheelhouse. It's co-written by the writer of a film called The Ghost, which is a Ewan McGregor movie that I really loved when it came out in 2010, and the Academy Award-nominated co-writer of Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. So it feels like it's got all the right sort of Oscar-baity ingredients in the mix as well. So I think this is probably a good shout.
I think that's a good shout. It feels like a meaty, thorny drama, doesn't it?
And we know the Academy loves a Pope movie. Two Popes did very well last time round. I feel like this has probably got a better shot than The Pope's Exorcist did to bring Popes back into the fold. But yeah, it feels like the sort of thing that a part of the Academy really like, this sort of historical drama / thriller. So I think it could play well.
And All Quiet at the Western Front was a very good film.
It's very well directed, yeah.
So that's Conclave. It's in cinemas on the 15th of November. That's three choices, Mike. What's your fourth?
A fourth is the big sort of holiday festive season hit. This is Wicked, obviously the movie of the smash hit musical, which we haven't seen, but by the time you're listening to this, we will have seen it in the West End.
Yes, we're going to see it next week.
TBC. Obviously the kind of spin-off of the beloved Wizard of Oz story. Yeah, as I say, this feels primed to be the kind of big hit leading into a kind of Christmas season. I feel like it's going to be everywhere once they start promoting it. Obviously they were paired up at the Oscars to introduce a couple of the awards as well, so I feel like they're going to be everywhere.
Who's Ariana Grande? Yes, and Cynthia Erivo.
So you've got one of the biggest pop stars in the world. You've got Cynthia Erivo, who's incredibly respected by the Academy. She's a multi-nominee already, both for acting and for
and she's an Oscar away from an EGOT, isn't she?
Oh, I think she is. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. So yeah, one of the most incredibly talented people in the world. And then the rest of the cast, you've got Michelle Yeoh, Jeff Goldblum, and Jonathan Bailey as well. So a really good cast as well.
They can both absolutely belt out a tune.
They can. So I'm very excited to see what this looks like. And it will be one of Universal's big awards pushes for the year as well. I think John M. Cho, who's the director, I think he's been building up a really kind of consistent slate of really solid to really good movies.
What was his last film?
His last film was In the Heights, which
I thought was great.
Really liked. And I think kind of showed that he really understood the sort of energy you need to create a great on-screen, big-screen movie musical. So excited to see how he's building out this world as well. And again, it's another film that I expect to probably garner a shed load of nominations across the craft categories like production design, costume design, makeup and hair as well. So I think it would be another big awards player as
and
well.
Make a lot of money. And, Oscars do like to reward films that make a lot of money.
And it's coming out at just the right time to build that momentum at the time when people are beginning to think about their nominations, that if it comes out and has a huge box office, that's going to make a big difference in terms of keeping it front of mind.
And that's highly conceivable because this musical has been seen over 11 million times in London.
I think it's over 12 million.
Is it?
Now, over 12 million visitors from over 6,500 performances.
That is mad, isn't it? So that's Wicked. It's in cinemas on the 28th of November. It's going to be one of the biggest films across the Christmas period. Don't miss it. What's your final choice?
And my final choice is, we don't have a UK release date for it, but we believe it is getting theatrical distribution. This is an Apple film. It is Blitz from Steve McQueen. Apple got 13 nominations at this year's Oscar ceremony, but went away empty-handed this time. But they obviously got the win, Best Picture win for Coda a couple of years back.
So just to highlight that the film that they were really pushing this year was Killers of the Flower Moon, which received 10 nominations and zero Oscars, but was still a very good film.
Yes, and then the other film they had nominated was Napoleon as well. And both those films, as I say, had the model where they came into cinemas first exclusively before becoming now available on Apple TV Plus at our home for subscribers. And we think that'll be the same with this Blitz movie as well. I think this will probably, they've got a really good slate this year, Apple, but I think this could be one that they really push from a sort of prestige angle. Obviously, Steve McQueen, incredibly well-respected director. I don't think he's made a bad movie. I think he's probably made great movies consistently across his career. Yeah. I love all his films.
And Small Axe, I think, is one of the great undertakings in modern British entertainment.
Excellent. This film, as the name suggests, takes place during the German bombing campaign against the UK in 1940. And it's, we don't know too much about it, but the kind of line that's out in the synopsis at the moment is about seeing the Blitz through the eyes of Londoners on the home front during this period. The ensemble cast includes Saoirse Ronan, Harris Dickinson, Stephen Graham, Hayley Squires, and also Steve McQueen has lured out Kathy Burke back to acting
yes,
for a small
I saw
role
this in
it
the
as
list.
Well. So that's very, very exciting. And I also believe that Paul Weller is acting in this as well.
As in The Jam,
yes.
Paul Weller, is
yeah,
he?
I think his first ever acting role is in this as well.
Oh,
so
wow.
A really intriguing ensemble cast with great talent. Saoirse Ronan, the Academy love her as well. Harris Dickinson's building up a really great career as well. So
yeah, he is, isn't he?
Feels like this is a really great cast from an incredibly respected filmmaker. So I think it could play very well with the Academy. So as I say, no confirmed release date, but I wouldn't be surprised if this also slots into a similar October, November position in the calendar.
I mean, that is a very, very solid choice. Steve McQueen, his films usually get major Oscar recognition. He's won Best Picture for 12 Years a Slave. And Saoirse Ronan, again, Best Actress, potentially, depending on how sizable the role is.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's Blitz. We're expecting it in cinemas at some point this year, maybe early next year. So now it's time for my choices. And I've gone with some similar big legacy sequel stroke prequels in here as well. So Furiosa, which is in cinemas on the 24th of May. It's directed by George Miller, who is a legendary action filmmaker. He obviously directed all the Mad Max films. He directed Happy Feet 1 and 2.
He's got range.
Yeah, he has got range. And this is his prequel to Mad Max Fury Road. And I think Mad Max Fury Road, whenever the big online sites particularly do their top 50, top 100 films of the century so far, Mad Max Fury Road is rock solid in the top five. I think maybe Empire voted it the best film of the century so far. It's one of the best action films, and it was directed in a way that only George Miller could have done it, I think. You know, it was kind of remarkable. And this is a prequel of the Charlize Theron character, starring Anya Taylor-Joy in the role of Furiosa, Chris Hemsworth in the role as well. It looks very much in the same ilk as Mad Max Fury Road, and it has the power, I think, to knock people's socks off.
Yeah, no, I remember the Mad Max Fury Road just being one of the most incredible theatrical experiences of recent times, just going to watch it, not knowing anything about the previous entries in the franchise, and just being bowled over by the craft of it all. And yeah, I thought it was spectacular. So very excited to see this one. And I love Anya Taylor-Joy as well. I think she's building up a lot of momentum in her career as well. So it feels a perfect match of potential movie star and property.
Yeah, and Mad Max Fury Road, multiple Oscar nominations, multiple Oscar wins. A lot of people think it should have won, so maybe there might be an impetus to write that
this instead, yeah.
Wrong this time. So my second choice, and this is more in kind of hope, I think, than actual real evidence, but I'm hopeful that Wolfs, which is in cinemas on the 20th of September, is going to be an Oscar contender. It's directed by John Watts. It's his first film post three Spider-Man films, one of which, No Way Home, grossed almost $2 billion. And this is about two fixers who I understand are people who fix stuff when things go wrong in the criminal underworld.
Yeah, I think sort out other people's mess when you're a criminal or very rich.
And what's quite exciting about those two fixers is they're played by George Clooney and Brad Pitt.
Can't get better than that, can you?
So even if this isn't going to be an Oscar contender, it's going to be hugely entertaining, isn't it?
Yeah, great time.
And I think John Watts, having done his time with Marvel, probably earned all the money that he's ever going to need, is hopefully now going to just do fun, maybe slightly more worthy projects. And this one, I'm not entirely certain of the tone of it, but this is one of the films in H2 that I'm very, very excited to see. It's out on the 20th of September. It's called Wolves.
And it feels like we might be swinging back into a bit of a movie star era. So maybe the Academy will want to award films where they're sort of, pushing movie star vehicles rather than leaning into IP franchise elements as well.
Could easily see another Best Supporting Actor nomination for Brad Pitt on this. So my third choice is Gladiator 2, which is not called Gladiator 2. It's currently untitled Gladiator sequel, but it will have a title, I think, by the time it comes out, which is on the 22nd of November. This is directed by Ridley Scott. He proved last year with Napoleon that he can still do big period action films. Gladiator won 5 Oscars when it hit cinemas in 2000. It won at the 2001 ceremony, including Best Picture. Ridley Scott has never won a Best Director Oscar, which is kind of bonkers when you think he's directed Alien, Blade Runner, Thelma and Louise, Gladiator. Gladiator was a huge, huge hit. It grossed over £31 million in the UK back in 2000. And it also is firmly at the top end of the IMDb top 250.
Yeah, I can't remember the number, but it's
like
definitely
in the top
right up there.
35, yeah. Probably. So of my generation, a lot of people I went to school with loved this film. Like, I think would probably place it in their top films of all time list. And whilst Russell Crowe isn't in this sequel, the cast is pretty darn good. It's Paul Mescal, Denzel Washington,
Pedro Pascal.
I think Connie Nielsen's the one actor back from the first one. Can lightning strike twice with Gladiator? I mean, there is going to be a lot of goodwill for Ridley Scott, I think. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be surprising me if this gets a Best Picture nomination.
Yeah, I actually, when I left my last job prior to DCM, I got given the Gladiator DVD because I admitted whilst I was there that I'd never seen Gladiator. And 8 years later, I still haven't seen Gladiator.
Well, we're gonna show it. We're sat
thanks,
in the screening
Tom,
room at DCM. We're gonna show it. It's Gladiator 2 or whatever it ends up being called. It's in cinemas on the 22nd of November. So I've had three choices. I've kind of got two or three more, but I'm going to go with Nosferatu, which is in cinemas on the 1st of January 2025. This is a remake or reimagining of one of the most famous horror tales of all time. It was made by, I think, F.W. Murnau in the 20s. It was made by Werner Herzog with Klaus Kinski as Nosferatu in the late 70s, early 80s. I should have done my research on that. This Robert Eggers is one of the most distinctive voices in filmmaking today. He's made The Lighthouse, he made The Northman, The Witch. It's got a pretty strong cast, including Bill Skarsgård, Lily Rose Depp, Aaron Taylor Johnson, Willem Dafoe, Nicholas Hoult. If you aren't aware of what the story is, it's a gothic tale of obsession between a haunted young woman and the terrifying vampire infatuated with her. And the Academy doesn't often like to reward horror, but I think this one, the craft of this one, and the standing of Nosferatu, if any horror film can break into the Best Picture list, I think it's this one.
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely got the right elements to maybe get around the sort of genre elements that sometimes the Academy doesn't love. And Robert Eggers feels like he's a director that sort of is building towards having a moment where he gets recognition at this level. Because, yeah, I think incredibly well-respected filmmaker that I've enjoyed all his movies so far. And I think, definitely kind of building momentum towards something bigger. So, yeah, I'm very intrigued to see this one.
So my fifth choice, and I might have a sixth in a second actually, is a film that doesn't currently have a release date, but I think is absolutely ripe for Oscar recognition and I think will be a big hit player at the BAFTAs, is Bird, which is directed by Andrea Arnold. Now, Andrea Arnold, I think, is one of the world's great filmmakers. She hasn't made a narrative feature film since American Honey, which I thought was really terrific. I mean, her most recent film was Cow, the documentary about the cow. But she's now back doing a narrative feature film. It doesn't have a release date yet. It also doesn't have a synopsis online. But the cast includes Barry Keoghan, Franz Rogowski, who was very good in Passages. And I just think Andrew Arnold is just such a beautiful filmmaker. I really just can't wait to see what she... I mean, I'll go see anything she does, but this particularly with that cast. And I feel like it could be her time to get some major Academy Award recognition.
Yeah, absolutely. And I believe I read online, I think this is what Barry Keoghan left Gladiator 2 to go do.
Yeah, he was originally going to be in Gladiator 2,
That feels, that I think obviously is a meaty role on offer, so I'm very intrigued to see what that is. And yeah, I think it's a very exciting prospect.
Yeah, and so I've got one other choice, but I'm kind of cheating. Yeah, because I couldn't decide between Bird and the other film, which, whilst I don't know if it's going to get Academy Award recognition, it's probably the film I'm most looking forward to this year, and it's Horizon, an American Saga, which currently doesn't have a UK release date. It's June in the US. Right. And then it's a two-part film, so they're doing the second part in August. This is a Western directed by Kevin Costner, starring Kevin Costner, financed by Kevin Costner, and...
Tom loves Kevin Costner.
I love Kevin Costner, and I love a Western starring Kevin Costner. Mm-hmm. Open Range, I think, is one of the great films of the 21st century. I could watch that. I could put it on now and watch it. And the cast also includes Sienna Miller, Jenna Malone, Danny Houston, who's clearly the bad person.
Clearly.
And it chronicles a multifaceted 15-year span of pre- and post-Civil War expansion and settlement of the American West. The trailer looks incredible. it's Costner doing a Western. I'm just totally into it, and I just want it to be amazing. And I would love to see him back in the Oscars conversation. Obviously, he won Best Picture for Dances with Wolves and Best Director, beating Martin Scorsese for Goodfellas, but never mind.
I feel like this, yeah, it feels like this could be a big commercial hit in America. He was obviously in the biggest show on TV in Yellowstone. People clearly love Kevin Costner, love this type of programming and content as well. So I think it definitely could be a big commercial hit in America. We'll see how it plays over here.
I'm going to be there. Tom will definitely be there. Weekend. So that's our choices that could make up the 10 Best Picture nominees next year. Do you have any honourable mentions?
Yes. So a few, just to throw out as many films as possible, okay. So we maybe can get predictions right. I'll mention Hard Truths, the Mike Leigh film that's coming out, a recollaboration with Marianne Jean-Baptiste. They worked together on Secrets and Lies back in the 90s, which is Best Picture nominated back then. So very excited.
Didn't you win the Palme d'Or for that?
Quite possibly, yeah. I think so. You've got Netflix will undoubtedly have A Horse in the Race. I've looked at their slate and I've kind of picked out The Piano Lesson, the August Wilson adaptation with Samuel L. Jackson. In that feels like a good shout as well. Neon are a distributor who have increasingly got titles into the Best Picture race. Films like Anatomy of a Fall, Triangle of Sadness, and most famously Parasite. This year, their slate, picking from a list, I think Emmanuel might be a good shout in terms of an adaptation of the erotic novel from the 60s.
With Noémie Merlant as in the lead.
Yes, and Naomi Watts as well. Yeah. Will Sharp, directed by Audrey Dewan, who did a great film called Happening a few years back, which got a BAFTA nomination for Best Director. So I think that looks really interesting. And also, Luca Guadagnino has two films out this year. Intrigued to see in next month what the reception to Challengers looks like, to see whether that might feature in the race or if it doesn't. A second film which is yet to be dated but maybe this year is a film called Queer, which also stars Daniel Craig, and I wonder if that comes out there might be an opportunity to embrace Daniel Craig, because this is really the first film, you know, of the sort of prestige sort of level he'll have done in decades. So feels like a good opportunity to maybe embrace that film in the vein of Call Me By Your Name as well.
Yeah, some good choices there. I will just shout out Jesse Eisenberg's film A Real Pain, which had a great reception at Sundance. Civil War, the Alex Garland film, I could see that making a splash at the Oscars. Yorgos Lanthimos, who seems to make a splash at the Oscars every year he makes a film now, has got another film coming out this year called Kinds of Kindness, which again stars Emma Stone and a whole host of actors. Megalopolis, the Francis Ford Coppola self-financed $100 million film starring Adam Driver.
Forever.
Yeah, Natalie Emmanuel, Aubrey Plaza, can't wait for that. And Jacques Audiard, who hasn't had Oscars recognition yet, but won the Palme d'Or for Deepan, I think is one of the best filmmakers in Europe, in the world probably. He's got a crime musical starring Zoe Saldana and Selena Gomez.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Which I'm very intrigued to see. But anyway, I think there's so many good films coming out over the next year. I think we've named enough films to
have a good shot at getting at least maybe 5 out of 10.
Yeah, four or five of our films will be Best Picture nominated. Well, that's all. Thanks for joining me, Mike.
No, my pleasure.
I'll be back very soon again with a new guest, and we'll be talking about something different. Bye-bye.